RTE Radio 1 Sport with Kia. For more on our 212 offers, visit your local Kia dealer or log on to kia.com.
It's 8:38 and it's all about the golf this morning, Darren.
It is. What an incredibly busy morning, Audrey, on the sporting front. And I think it might be a sign of things to come for the rest of the summer. Fingers crossed at the very least. Let's start with that overnight news, the golf. John Rahm, the US Open champion, after a dramatic night at Torrey Pines. Rory McIlroy's challenge faded late on. Greg Allen has all the details.
In what's been an already glittering five-year career, one of the few things missing in John Rahm's CV had been a major championship win, but he answered all the questions you could possibly think of yesterday in terms of nerve, skill and bravery, and then some. He was hugely impressive in a curious final round in which every single player with a chance of winning seemed to have a major crisis. And Rahm also appeared to have one too when his tee shot on the ninth hole went over a temporary fence, but a rules official deemed that it was not a boundary of the course, and Rahm went on to make a very unlikely birdie there that sent him on his way to produce a grandstand finish with two near identical curling left to right birdie putts, each of around 15 feet on the 17th and 18th greens, which were greeted with an exclamation mark fist pump from the burly 26-year-old from the Basque Country, who only 2 weeks ago had to withdraw from holding a six-shot lead entering the final round of the Memorial Tournament due to a COVID diagnosis that actually left him in near tears. But he got a call from somebody and it made a difference.
The first person who called me that was in family was Padraig Harrington, and he told me a story in which he was leading by five after 54 holes, signed the wrong scorecard and got disqualified. And he said he got a lot more from that instance. He learned a lot more than he would have ever learned from a win. So I believed from the biggest setbacks you can get some of the biggest breakthroughs, and I felt it today out there on the golf course. I had in mind Padraig, and I knew today was my day.
Rahm's final round numbers yesterday added up to a brilliant 67 for a total of 6 under par and a one-stroke victory. Rory McIlroy had a really great chance on the final afternoon, and he was only 2 off the lead when he three-putted the 11th and then went from bunker to bunker on the 12th for a double bogey. The momentum was lost and he shot a 73 for a 1 under par total, finishing in a share of 7th position.
El Rue, the three-putt on 11, that sort of stopped the momentum. It was way better today. Look, the score doesn't suggest it. You know, there was 2 holes that really were the end of my title hopes. But apart from that, this week, it's been really positive.
McIlroy wasn't the only one to disappoint, as one by one, Colin Morikawa, Brooks Koepka and Bryson DeChambeau all made critical errors to recede down the leaderboard on the back nine, while Louis Westhuizen came up just one shot short for a 6th runner-up finish in a major championship, leaving Rahm the first Spanish winner of the US Open. For Shane Lowry, incidentally, a lackluster final day 79 saw him finish back on 13 over par.
Yeah, well done to John Rahm. And what a lovely touch from Padraig Harrington to call him after that disappointing news and playing a little part in that victory over the weekend. Leona Maguire, I'm afraid, just came up short in her bid to win on the LPGA Tour for the first time. She finished 23 under par, 2 behind the winner, Nelly Korda, at the Meyer Classic. The Irish Rugby Sevens team has made history by beating France at the World Event in Monaco to qualify for the Olympic Games. Despite trailing at the break, the Irish came from behind to win 28-19 in the final qualifying event for those games. The team skipper is Billy Dardis, and he's been doing his best to put this achievement into words when I spoke to him a short time ago.
Yeah, it's all been a bit of a blur. Like, I woke up there a few minutes ago and I'm still thinking, is Harry McNulty's try, is that a dream, seeing him run in and the lads going nuts? You don't really know how to describe what it feels like. Some of us were kind of like, feel like empty. Like, it's just words can't really describe it. So this morning I've mulled on it a little bit, and yeah, it's starting to sink in just how big of an achievement it is. Pretty cool to think that we've qualified for the Olympics, that we could be Olympians in the next four or five weeks.
It really is some story. There was only one place up for grabs. There was so much on the line, but you guys put in the performance of your lives. How did that come about?
We've played France so many times now, and we haven't beaten them now in 3 years. We're pretty nervous before the game. The warm-up wasn't the best warm-up in the world, but we actually perform as a team better when everyone's on edge, nervous, but aware of how big of a game this is. And we went out there and just went hammer and tongs at it. We obviously got lucky we got a try pretty early on in the first few minutes, and then we had to defend for our lives. Those last 3-4 minutes were just, we started to believe that we could actually do it when we were right on their line, and then Harry gets that try, and lads just went nuts. So it's pretty cool. The performance, it's been building for years though.
Billy, can I finish by asking you about your teammates? There's some pretty amazing backstories there. There's a reality TV star. He turned his back on the Fame game. There's other guys who, you know, this was their opportunity to rekindle rugby careers. How unique is this group?
You wouldn't understand how unique of a group of lads we have. It's just, sevens is funny. Like, it brings all, like, people from all walks of life. And we're a weird, twisted, strange, odd group of lads that don't really fit. There's probably clashes left, right, and centre, but yeah, you've got Greg with Love Island, you've Gerardo, who's played for Athlone Town, you've got Aaron Sexton, who's a sprint, like one of the fastest schoolboys of all time. And what's kind of common amongst us all is that we've all tasted like a bit of devastation prior to winter sevens, because we all would have played in academies and would have had big aspirations of playing for our provinces and going on to play for Ireland. And a lot of us have kind of been told that, yeah, no, you're not going to do that, and we've been moved on. There's a bit of a chip on the shoulder mentality about that. That can really fog your mind if you were to channel that one way. But I think Anthony Eddy's done a pretty incredible job to channel it all together. And this group is so cool that anyone can fit in if you just be yourself.
I think a lesson for us all there. Kilkenny beat Galway by 3 points to claim the Littlewoods Division 1 Camogie title at Croke Park. It also marked a significant comeback for Katie Power. Pádraig Lodge has been speaking to her manager, Brian Dowling.
Brilliant to get Katie Power back on the pitch. I suppose we hadn't planned for it, you know, but she went very well in the challenge game last Sunday with the intermediates and Tuesday night in training. And we just said coming up, we won't get back onto this pitch for 10 minutes, no matter what way the game was going, because, you know, Katie's been through absolute hardship the last 2 years with injuries. You know, I don't think people would believe it if you explain what was going on. But just the work she's after putting in, and we just wanted to get her back onto this pitch, you know, was great. And, you know, she had a positive impact, which is brilliant. And look, we'll get another 4 tough weeks training to Katie now, and hopefully she'll be ready then for championship.
Any view on the late start? I know there was a lot of debate during the week about whether it was a good idea.
It's just a bit surprising now. You know, some of the girls, I suppose, have to work tomorrow. I'm okay, I'm a teacher, so I can have the morning off. But no, look, again, and I said straight away, it's to get to play in Croke Park is unbelievable. And, you know, thanks to the GAA and the Camogie for allowing that. You know, to play out in this pitch is unbelievable. You know, I've been involved in 2 league finals now in Portland. I've been here, and that's brilliant. You know, to get to, you know, this is a stadium, this is where the game should be. And you know, to get to play up here in the league final, okay, it was on late in the evening, but look, we play here any time. You know, I said that last year, we'd play on Christmas Day if we had to, you know, and the same this year, just to get up here to play. And I suppose it makes it extra special then when you get over the line and win.
Yeah, well done to them. Finally, Italy beat Wales 1-0 in the final round of games at the Euros. This is Group A. Switzerland got the better of Turkey, but it's Italy who topped the standings. Wales take the second automatic qualifying spot on goal difference. That is your sport for now.